It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. Last week, we spoke briefly about sort of looking at some of the brush, some of the undergrowth, the small things that are, you know, growing below the trees. And I gave you some tips on how to identify some of them. This week, I'd like to speak just briefly about some of the big trees, the Norways and the white pines and the spruce and the balsam, all of the evergreens, those that don't lose their leaves in the wintertime. And they, of course, are fairly identifiable. If you're driving along this morning and you see those trees with the very nice isosceles triangle tops on them, unless you're driving right past a black spruce swamp, those are probably balsams. If they're on high ground, if they're not growing in water or near water, they're probably balsam trees with the isosceles triangle top. The white spruce, which also grows on high ground, has a more uneven, unusual top. Their branches tend to be more spread out. The tops of the white spruce don't look as neatly trimmed as the top of a balsam. So that'll tell you spruce from balsam. The black spruce will have these very sharply pointed tops. And you may have heard a story this past week about how in Minnesota, some of the whites or the black spruce tops are being harvested and sold to people as Christmas decorations. And there is a bit of a controversy there because cutting these tops can set the tree back. It doesn't kill the tree because the tree will just continue to grow new leaders in the next years. But illegally harvesting those tops is kind of it runs against the good forestry practices. So those black spruce are going to be found mostly in bogs and swamps. You're not going to see a black spruce up on high ground very often. It does happen, but not very often. Of the other trees, the jack pines, the Norway pines, the white pines, and I suppose be unreasonable to not talk about the Scots pine as well. Jack pine have black flaky bark, very flaky bark, and they're, for the most part, unevenly growing. That is, they don't sort of have an even canopy. And so they have a kind of a ragged looking growth pattern. The black flaky bark is the easiest way to identify a jack pine. Two needles, rather short, probably in most cases less than 2 inches. And that would be jack pine. Scots pine has if you look at the base of a Scots pine, the bark looks a lot like a Norway pine. It's kind of reddish. But if you look up the tree a ways, up into the top part of the branches, you'll see a kind of an orangey, waxy-looking bark. And that is Scots pine, also two needles. Those needles tend to be greater than 2 inches. They're a little bit longer than the jack pine needles. But that bark is definitely not black. It is, in a lot of cases, it's kind of orangey-yellow. And so the black the black bark would be the jack pine. This orangey yellow bark, which is also somewhat flaky, would be the Scots pine. And then you have the Norway pine, and that has two needles as well, but the needles are very long, sometimes 5 or 6 inches long. So, and their bark is going to be kind of reddish. Now, the other name for the Norway pine is the red pine. And that name somewhat relates to the reddish looking bark of the tree, but it also relates to the fact that the wood, sawn boards of of Norway pine have a kind of a red tint to them. The other big pine tree that we have a lot of here in northern Minnesota is the white pine. And the white pine has these big cantilevered branches that are upsweeping, not sharply upsweeping, but think of sort of stretching out and then kind of rising up at the tips. And oftentimes those branches will break off of the tree because they are open like that and they collect a lot of snow. If you get a situation where you've got rain and snow coming down, you get these branches loading up with snow and then just shearing off of the tree. So if you're walking through the woods and you come across this tree, or you come across this, fairly large tree with blackish bark, gray-black bark, and you see branches, large branches, sometimes 4 to 6 inches in diameter, laying on the ground beneath these trees, that's often a good indicator that you're looking at a white pine. White pines have openings in the branches. Norway pines don't. Norway pines generally tend to be pretty uniform. And in fact, when I'm looking at a Norway pine from a distance, I often think that the shape is somewhat like the sharp end of an egg. Now, I know you, eggs don't have any sharp ends, but the end with the smaller radius. So if you think about the end of the egg that has the smaller radius, and you look at a Norway pine, you'll see that it has that similar shape. So just a quick, and of course there is the white cedar, which is a common tree in northern Minnesota. Not common, I guess, but in swampy areas and some places and in people's yards, white cedars do proliferate. They are highly sought after by deer, and so there's very little regeneration of white cedar in Minnesota because the deer find these young trees and they just eat them right off at the ground. So, but if you're looking at cedars, they have those flat needles. Yes, they're called needles or leaves, but if you look at them, they are very, very flat. And so that, and of course, very aromatic. Crush some of that needle in front of your nose, and you'll smell that cedar smell very plainly. That's just a little overview of some of the evergreens that you're likely to run into this time of year, and gives you a little idea how to identify some of them. Let's take a look at some of my notes from this last week. Joel Rosen over in Mattawa reports a northern shrike at his feeder. And the northern shrike is this J-sized bird, maybe robin-sized, but it has a black mask. It's gray and black. The wings are black. The tail is black. There's a black slash across its face. And that will help you differentiate it from the gray jay, which is uniformly gray above and white below. The northern shrike is gray above, white below, but it has these black wings, black tail, and this black mask. And if you're close enough, you'll see that it has a tiny hook at the end of its beak. The interesting thing about the northern shrike is that it's a predatory bird. It belongs to the family Passerine. That those are perching birds. It doesn't have talons. It doesn't have a great deal of strength in its feet, but it is a carnivore, and it preys on mice and voles and small birds. I once got a picture of a northern shrike killing a downy woodpecker, and that hooked beak comes into play when they capture something, because they pounce on it with their feet, and they don't have the strength that a hawk or an owl would have to just sink the talons in and do the damage. They simply hold it down and they get that hooked beak in there and they snip the spinal cord, and that sort of ends the fight. But these birds also have this unusual habit, not so much wintertime habit, but in the summertime in their nesting areas, they will capture prey and hang it on like blackberry barbs or barbed wire fences or apples with thorns, anything that will sort of impale the bird or the mouse or the vole or whatever it is that they've caught. They impale it. And part of the reason for that is because they don't have these strong talons, this gives them a place where they can strip the flesh off of their prey. But the other thing that's interesting about that, and this was done, the research was done in Israel on a relative of our northern shrike, another shrike. But this particular shrike, and in this study, the Israelis discovered that the shrikes, the male shrikes that had the best larder, that had the most impaled specimens, had the best chance of mating with a female. So the females are watching to see who are the best hunters. And of course, they're going to go with those guys. So some interesting facts about northern shrikes. Among other birds, of course, we have our ravens. I saw a fairly large flock of ravens playing around on the wind on Saturday morning, really early, not really early, but like 7:30 before sunrise. And they're kind of soaring along and just playing. And Bernd Heinrich, in his book, The Mind of the Raven, talks about ravens quite extensively, of course. And the thing that he says about these groups of ravens, these are probably unmated or juvenile ravens, and they work together as a group. And if they find some food somewhere, they're going to pass the word around the group and they'll all show up and have lunch. So as it turns out, in this area where I did see these ravens later on that afternoon as I was coming home, I noticed a dead deer in the ditch, and I suspect that they were waiting for something to happen there. I had reports. If you check out KAXE KBXE Season Watch, you'll see that there are a lot of notes in there about great gray owls. You may have heard the kids from, I guess it was Addison, talking about the North Shore Community School report. There is a great gray owl in their area there, and there are great gray owls being seen quite frequently at the Saxe Zim Bog, which is a great place to take a little, I won't say mini vacation, but if you're looking for some place to drive and maybe get out and take a little walk, the Saxe Zim Bog up by Goodland and Meadowlands is really a great spot to go. So you might want to check that out. There was a snowy owl spotted in the Bemidji area. Evening grosbeaks are still being seen all around the Northland. My good friend John Zazada sent me a note saying that he had pine grosbeaks at his feeder for the first time in a couple of years. I haven't seen a pine grosbeak on my feeder in a couple of years here, but I have seen a few around the area. On my feeder this past week, I had the return of some American goldfinches. Other notes this week included another short-tailed shrew that ended up being captured by a can in my garage. Somehow it fell into this coffee can and wasn't able to climb out, and that's where I found it. So the shrew, he probably just starved to death in there, which is kind of unfortunate, but that's the way it went. That's our phenology report for this week. As always, if you have notes to share, send them along. You can reach me at jlatimer@kaxe.org. You can always post them on our Season Watch page. That's a great place to find out what's happening in your area.